We're going to read again the prophecy of Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, or make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt around his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. And the cow and the bear shall graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Then it will come about in that day that the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son into the world as the Redeemer of the world. We thank you that he comes as the Spirit-anointed branch from the stump of Jesse to bring peace to the nations, so that wolves will lie down with lambs, so the knowledge of the Lord will spread throughout the earth as the waters cover the sea. We pray that you would encourage us in hope today as we celebrate and anticipate your coming. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gospel of John the Baptist is a gospel of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a repentance that's backed up by an implied threat. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand means if you don't repent, the kingdom of heaven is going to take you by surprise. The kingdom of heaven is going to come and you're going to be judged. That implied threat becomes explicit when Pharisees and Sadducees come to the Jordan in order to be baptized by John. John calls them a brood of vipers. They're nestlings of the serpent, of Satan. He asks them, who told them to flee from the wrath to come? The coming of the kingdom means the coming of wrath. When God comes to his throne, he judges his enemies and destroys those who don't repent and turn to him. And John says that this judgment is not just on the horizon. This judgment is already beginning. The axe is already at the foot of the tree. The harvester is already coming. He already has his threshing fork in his hand. And he's coming so that he can separate the wheat and the chaff and gather the chaff and throw it into an enormous fire of judgment. The coming of the kingdom means the coming of wrath. The coming of the kingdom means the coming of an axe. And that's not a random image. It comes from the Old Testament and specifically from Isaiah's prophecy and more specifically from Isaiah chapter 10, the chapter just before the passage that I read. In Isaiah 10, the axe is Assyria, the empire of Assyria, and the axeman, the one who's wielding the axe against Israel, is Israel's own God, the Lord himself. Assyria is not powerful enough to take Israel if God were defending them. The reason why Assyria can threaten Israel is because God is using Israel as an axe, and he's lopping off the branches, and he's chopping down the tree of Israel. He chops down the lofty branches, which are the high and mighty within Israel. He keeps chopping and chopping and chopping until we come to the beginning of chapter 11, and there's nothing left but a stump. Nothing left but the stump of Jesse. There's an axe in Psalm 74 too. And here the axe is not directed against Israel in general, but more specifically against Israel's house, the temple. Those who come into the temple, invade the temple, are like those who have axes and hammers and chop at the wood-lined walls of the temple. The temple itself was like a grove. If you walked inside, you were surrounded by cedar wood. And when invaders came in and chopped at the walls of the temple, they were chopping down a great forest. John is warning that the axe is already laid at the foot of the tree. And in Isaiah, this chopping of Assyria, this chopping of the Lord's instruments, doesn't just take off a few high branches, doesn't just take off a few branches here and there. It doesn't just take off a king or two. The Lord keeps chopping and chopping and chopping, with Assyria first and then later with Babylon, until we get to the stump of Jesse. The stump of Jesse. Jesse is David's father. Jesse is rarely mentioned outside of the historical books of the Old Testament. He's mentioned only once here in the prophets. And that's significant, that the Lord has chopped down Israel until there isn't even a David left. You look around after the Lord has done chopping, and it looks like the Davidic dynasty never got started. He kept chopping and chopping and chopping until he got down to the very roots beyond the Davidic dynasty. That's what the Lord does, not through Assyria only, but through Assyria and later Babylon. The Lord keeps chopping until it's as if the Davidic dynasty was never there. The Lord preserves Israel and Judah, preserved Judah from Assyria in a famous story about Hezekiah. But that's not enough for the Lord. That kind of chopping around the edges, chopping off a few branches, it's not enough. Israel needs to be chopped down to the roots. Israel's dynasty, the Davidic dynasty, needs to be chopped down until it's all gone, until there's nothing left but a stump of Jesse. And then God begins his work. It's not enough for him to chop off a few branches here and there and then make the tree flourish. He does do that. He prunes so that a tree will flourish. He prunes Israel so that Israel flourishes. He prunes us so that we can flourish. But sometimes he does more. And that's what's happening in Isaiah. He chops not only a few branches off, but chops down right to the roots, and then begins something new. Something unexpected, something miraculous, something that you wouldn't expect to come up from a root. You go by the root and you would say, there's no tree there, but then this branch comes up. A new David. A better David. From the stump of Jesse. And this branch is going to be filled with the Spirit. The word Spirit is mentioned 4 times in the chapter in Isaiah 11. He's going to be filled with the Spirit so that he can perform a sevenfold work. It's the Spirit, the fourfold Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of strength, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. These are the 7 spirits of God, if you will. The 7 gifts of the Spirit are going to be given to this branch to qualify him to be a new and better David. These are the qualities that you want in a ruler: wisdom and understanding, counsel and strength. This branch is going to be equipped to do all the things that David did and even more. To rule in the fear of the Lord, to rule with wisdom, to conquer all his enemies. He's going to be equipped with the Spirit so that he can do justice. Righteousness will be the belt about his waist. Right from the beginning, Isaiah has been prophesying about the injustices in Israel. Don't come into my house, the Lord says, and raise your hands in prayer because you've got blood on your hands. Don't think that you can come into my house after you've oppressed the widow and the orphans and escape my judgment. You are like rulers of Sodom. You are like the people of Gomorrah. But now the branch is coming. And he will not only judge, he will judge rightly. He doesn't judge by what he sees. He discerns past appearances to judge righteously. He doesn't judge by rumor, by what he hears. He judges righteously. And when he judges, that means that Israel can flourish again. The rod of his mouth carries out the judgments that he sees, the judgments that he discerns, and the result is going to be a renewed Israel and a renewed world. After Israel has been chopped down to nothing, after the Davidic dynasty is chopped down to the roots, a new branch will come up, equipped with the Spirit, and when he begins to work and talk and judge and rule, the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid. It's a fulfilled and glorified Eden. It's an Eden where small children play on viper's den. Not like Adam. The viper came into Eden, the first Eden. And Adam didn't play at his den. Adam kind of cowered behind his wife. Let his wife take the hit. But when this new David comes, he's going to make a race of Adams that plays by viper's den. He's going to reconcile animals that are at war with each other, nations that are at war with each other. Because the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The Spirit that's on the branch is going to spread out over the whole creation. And when the whole creation comes to the knowledge that he has, comes to share in that knowledge by the Spirit, then there's going to be peace and justice in the earth. This branch is going to be a standard, verse 10 says. It's going to be a standard to which all of the scattered Israelites will gather. All of the scattered nations, as the chapter goes on, it talks not only about Israel coming, but all of the scattered nations coming to this signal, coming to this banner, coming back to Zion, so that they can share in the good things of his rule. Verse 10 tells us that this branch is not just a branch, but a root. The same thing, the same object is both branch and root. He comes out of Jesse's stump, but he's also the root that ensured that Jesse's stump would grow in the first place, that Jesse's sapling would grow in the first place. He's Alpha as well as Omega. Of course, Isaiah 11 is talking about Jesus, is talking about the branch coming out of the stump of Jesse. After Israel has been chopped down to virtually nothing, then the Lord brings Jesus, the Spirit-anointed branch, anointed with the Spirit of wisdom and might and counsel, to rule, to overcome his enemies, to assemble scattered Israel to himself, to assemble the nations, and to begin the work of reconciling lions and lambs, wolves and kids, to begin the work of restoring humanity to its Adamic dominion over the earth. That's what Jesus came to do in his first Advent. That's what we're celebrating when we celebrate Advent. We're celebrating God's coming in the form of this branch, this Spirit-anointed branch from the stump of Jesse, God coming into his own world in order to repair his own world. God coming to a humanity divided between predators and prey and turning it into a garden where they lie down together and feed together on grass. That's not something that we're looking forward to just in the future. It's something that God began to do by sending his Son in the beginning, at the beginning of the gospel story, in the first Advent. But that's not all that John is talking about when he says that the axe is laid at the foot of the tree. He's talking about another axe, another judgment coming. Jesus is the branch that comes up from the stump of Jesse, but John is warning that there's a judgment coming on his contemporaries, on first century Jews. There's another Assyria. The Lord has picked up another axe, and he's going to begin another deforestation project. And in the context of the first century, that can only mean that he's going to begin deforesting with the axe of Rome. Right from the beginning of the gospel story, we have this threat hanging over Israel, that there's a great judgment just over the horizon, a judgment that Israel can avoid only by repentance, only by turning to the Lord. They can't avoid it by trying to make friends with the axe. That doesn't do any good. They can avoid the judgment only by making friends with the axemen. And they can only do that by repenting and turning to the Lord. That's the message that John preaches. There is another deforestation coming. You need to repent. It's best to be on the backside of the axeman when he starts swinging. You don't want to be in front of him. You want to be on his side of the deforestation project. But even that, I don't think, captures all that John is warning about here. All that John is saying. Israel is the tree of God. Israel is the tree that the Lord is beginning to chop down. Israel's temple is the second temple, the Herodian temple, is another forest that the Lord is going to chop down using the axe of Rome. But Jesus is Israel in the flesh. Jesus is Israel in person. And when John talks about the chopping down of a tree, he's not only talking about what's about to happen to Israel, he's talking about what's about to happen to the one that comes after him. The one who doesn't baptize with water, but baptizes with the Spirit. He's talking about the one whose shoelace he's not even worthy to untie. Jesus is the tree of Israel. And if the axe is already laid at the foot of the tree, when Jesus first appears, that means that Jesus is the one who's going to be chopped down. And especially in his last week of life, his last week of ministry, we see one after another of the lofty branches chopped down. Judas betrays him. One branch down. The rest of the disciples flee. There go the other lofty branches. People aren't holding branches to celebrate his coming by the end of the week. They're crying out for his crucifixion. Chop him down. Nail him to a bare tree. Nail the bare tree to the bare tree. Chop him down so that there is nothing left. Chop him down to the roots. That's where, just where the Father wants him. That's where Jesus wants to be, and that's where Jesus goes. Right down to the roots. Chop down to nothing. Chop down all the way to the grave. This branch from the root of Jesse is not just an image of what of the incarnation, but it's an image of resurrection. It's an image of what God is going to do after he's chopped down Jesus, the tree of Israel. He's going to begin a new growth from that grave. Jesus is going to come out full of the Spirit beyond measure, and he's going to pour out that Spirit on his people so that wolves can lie down with lambs and lions can eat straw like an ox, so that they neither hurt nor destroy in all this holy mountain, so that the earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord like the waters cover the sea. Jesus coming from the grave is that branch from dead wood. And by the Spirit, that same death and resurrection, that same story of Jesus, that same life of Jesus is worked out in us. We're comfortable with pruning here and there, I suppose. It's a little painful to be pruned. Some of the branches that the Lord chops off, we think, I kind of like that branch. I wish you hadn't removed that. But sometimes pruning doesn't feel like pruning. It certainly wasn't just pruning for Jesus. The Lord didn't just remove an unfruitful branch every here and there. There were no unfruitful branches in Jesus. And yet the Lord removed everything and chopped him down to the roots. And sometimes our experience is the same. We don't think that we're being pruned, we think we're being chopped down to nothing. You think, well, at least I've got my health, and then chop. At least I've got some friends left. Chop. At least I've got my family. My family's intact. At least I've got this and that. I can trust in this. I can trust in that. And the pruning begins to feel a little sadistic. Where are you, Lord? Why don't you stop this? Why don't you stop chopping before I'm completely gone, before there's nothing left but roots? But see, the point of this is that that's just where God wants to bring us. That's pruning, but it has to be radical pruning. We need that much of our branches and our trunk chopped off if we're going to be truly fruitful. He has us just where he wants us when he gets us down to the roots. Because he has us just where Jesus was. And then he begins a new growth. Then branches start to flourish. Then fruit starts to grow. When the Lord has chopped us down all the way to the roots, then he's got us exactly where Jesus was so that he can bring resurrection from the dead. That's the good news of Advent, not only about the incarnation, the coming of the Lord in his birth that we celebrate during the season, but we also look ahead to the new birth of Jesus, the second birth of Jesus from the grave, because that new birth of Jesus, that second birth, is worked out in us by the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came to endure death. We thank you that he came to endure the judgment that we deserve. And we thank you that through that judgment, you have made us, given us life and made us flourish. And we thank you, too, for the privilege we have of sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And we pray that when we do, we would trust you to raise us from the dead. We would see the fruit that comes from our sufferings, the fruit that comes from your pruning. We pray that this would happen so that Jesus Christ would be glorified. We thank you for his coming and for the good news of his coming to bring fruitful branches from dead stumps. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.